Are you ready? All right, we're going to do like a super short review. Jesus says, Matthew 6:9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Pray. That's the most important thing about prayer, is that you do it. That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter how much we talk about it, how much we teach about it. The most important thing about prayer is that you pray. When Jesus taught on prayer, he didn't say, if you pray. No, he said, when you pray. And so we need to always pray. We need to be a praying people. It needs to be a part of your daily life. You know, I know, we're all against, religious things just being a habit. That's right. It shouldn't just be a habit, but it ought to also be a habit. It ought to be something that you do every single day that you just can't do without it. You know, God deals with all of us different ways. And one time the Lord just impressed on my heart that a day without prayer is such an arrogant act. Like we don't need him that day. And we always do. So pray. That's the most important thing. And he gives us this amazing pattern for prayer. I'm going to read on from verse 9 there. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We start our prayer acknowledging our Father in heaven and honoring him and worshiping him. We pray for him to have his way here in this world, that his perfect will would be done. See, in heaven, he said, as it is in heaven. You know, in heaven, the perfect will of God is done. He reigns absolute. In heaven, everything goes the way he wants it to go. His perfect will is done. But it doesn't happen automatically here on this earth. No, we have to daily pray in the kingdom of heaven and the will of God to be on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what? Unless we renew our minds with the word of God, a lot of the time we don't even really know what God's will is. A lot of people think they know God's will, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot more people in any given situation. They say, well, we don't really know what God's will is. And you know what? There's always going to be certain situations in life, specific things maybe, that you're wanting to know the will of God about something, and you're not going to find that specific thing in the scripture. You're going to have to hear from God to know what that perfect will of God is in that specific situation. But here's the thing. So much of the time, the scripture does tell us what the will of God is, if we'll just take the time to renew our minds with the word of God. Here's what Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And you see, it's as we renew our minds with the word of God that more and more and more we know what the heart of God is. We know what the will of God is in whatever situation that we're praying about. We know how to pray about it because we know what God's perfect will would be from the scripture. Next, we ask him to take care of our needs. We talked about that last week. Give us this day our daily bread. And tonight, we're going to move on to verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, in Luke's gospel, he just says, forgive us as we forgive others. But we call this the Lord's Prayer, but truthfully, it wasn't really for the Lord. It was for us. And one of the ways we know that, absolutely, is because Jesus never needed to pray, forgive me, because he never sinned. So he was teaching us how we should pray. And he says, this is how you pray. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us. All of us sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I just want to tell you, in heaven's bank account, all of us have a debt that we can never, ever pay without the blood of Jesus. It's greater than the U.S. national debt. That's a whole lot. You can't ever pay it. There's no way that you can ever pay that debt. Only the blood of Jesus could pay it. Some people think, well, if they do something good, they can make up for their wrongs. You know, there's a problem with that. You're supposed to do the good anyway. Because to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So guess what? Doing the good that you already should have been doing, that doesn't make up for the wrongs that you did. You can never, ever make it up. No, we owe a debt that we can never pay, as the old song says. Our righteousness is filthy rags. 1 Peter 1:17 through 19 says, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Wow, that doesn't sound like a lot of the gospel that's preached today. That's one of those verses that people just skip over. Like, that's not really in there. Verse 18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, the message from this passage in Peter is so different from the mentality of some who pretend that it doesn't matter how they live. As though once they've believed in Jesus, they can just do whatever they want and live however they want, and it doesn't matter. But the scripture says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Every day, we live in the fear of the Lord, with reverence and honor for our God. We never, ever disrespect Him. We don't just live however we please. No, we live to honor Him and to glorify Him. We treat the blood of Christ as something that is precious and holy. We don't trample that blood underfoot. Forgive us. This is what Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us. I've talked to some who say that it's not necessary to ask for forgiveness. They disagree with much of the teachings of Jesus because it doesn't fit their doctrines. Jesus says, pray like this, forgive us. They say, we don't need to. I got a problem with that. This was most certainly a pattern for our daily prayer life. Because I want you to realize this, that this is exactly the way this is written. Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us, just this little conjunction, and forgive us. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I want to assure you that it needs to be a part of our prayer life, that we are always thanking Him, asking Him, appreciating, never taking for granted the forgiveness that He so freely gives to us. This holy, righteous God who is perfect in all His ways, yet He paid the price for our sins that we might be forgiven. Here's one of my favorite verses, Psalm 86 and 5. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. You ever ask for forgiveness from somebody and they were not ready to give it? I have. But I serve a God who is ready to forgive. He is ready to forgive. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to wait. You don't have to suffer. We serve a merciful God who says He is ready to forgive. What an amazing God. Now, some teachings of men will say that you've got to pay for your sin. This is one of the huge differences between Christianity and the other faiths of the world. Because He, our God, paid for us. He's the only one that paid for those who serve Him and love Him. He paid for us. We don't have to pay. We don't have to suffer. Not in this life and not in the one to come. And again, you see, people have lowered the standards of a holy, righteous God when they think that there's any way that they could pay. Because the only way that those sins can be paid for is by death. The wages of sin is death. Ken's nodding his head. Anybody else know this is in the Bible? Y'all act like you know it, because I'll turn to every stinking one of them. The wages of sin is death. That's the only way. Oh, but I gave a whole lot of money. I worked really hard. I did all this. I crawled on glass on my knees. It don't matter. The wages of sin is death. That's the only way. You can't do enough good. You can't make up for what you've done. Only Jesus' precious blood can pay. That's the only way. And so, as religious as it might sound, when people want to do penance and want to pay for their sin, it is an affront. It is a slap in the face to a God who's already paid by His precious blood. Don't ever count the blood of Jesus as not enough. But we are to ask for forgiveness because we're never to take it for granted. Let me clarify. We absolutely should expect that our God will forgive us. He always keeps His word. But we should also always be grateful for His forgiveness and never ever take it for granted. We should never fail to admit that we need His forgiveness and ask for it. Jesus said, pray like this, forgive us our debts. 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says this, if we say that we have no sin, and by the way, just kind of bring it up to speed here, John is writing to those he calls his little children. He is writing to fellow believers. And if you read the book of 1 John, the letter of 1 John, you see that very clearly. I want you to understand, he's not writing to lost people. He's writing to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I used to know a man who used to say, I don't sin. Well, he didn't read the Bible either. Because the Bible says, if we say we don't have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if you admit your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. All of us sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God. We cannot possibly measure up to His righteous standards on our own. And I know that for me personally, I fall fail in such innumerable ways. There is no way that I could list out and confess every sin. In fact, I know that there are things that I do wrong and mess up and sin that I don't even realize I was making a mistake. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, sometimes hindsight's 20/20 and you see where you blew it. But sometimes, you know what? In our humanness, we just don't know. But we're not perfect like Him. And so I want you to understand, I'm not talking about that you have to be able to enumerate every sin you've ever committed. I mean, you could start now and you'll never ever, the rest of your life, if that's all you did, you won't ever get them all out. I do think it's appropriate sometimes when we pray to even ask, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my sins, the things I don't even know. But here's the really important thing I want to get at here. You see, a lot of the time, there are things that we know. There are things that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind. There are things that you know you did wrong, and you need to ask God for forgiveness. Here's what 1 John 1:9 said. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we're going to deal with it. Some of you got a thing going on right now. I know we're going to deal with it. Psalm 66 and 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means if you got some wrong there that's in your heart that you know and you keep it in there, you don't deal with it, you don't confess it, you refuse to admit it, he says he won't even hear you. Here's an ineffective prayer life. When you've got sin in your heart, there's things that you know you've done wrong and you refuse to admit it to God. You refuse to deal with it, refuse to repent. What's he say? The Lord will not hear. See, he knows about it already. But if we refuse to admit it to him, then we're insincere and unrepentant. We got quiet. But what an ineffective prayer life when you harbor sin and won't admit it to God. You just can't pray effectively. It's not that we have to be perfect, because listen, we had to be a sinless person, a perfect person, then God wouldn't hear any of us. It's that when we come to God that we are honest and open before Him and we admit to God that we need His forgiveness. Because I want to tell you that if we come to Him with a sincere heart, He will never turn you away. When David had sinned, he wrote these words, Psalm 51. I just read about three verses to you. Verse 2 and 3, he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Verse 17, he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. See, when we come to God with a broken and contrite heart, He won't ever turn you away. No, He'll always love you. He'll show you mercy. He'll forgive you. I want to go on from there and finish the prayer from verse 12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, or forever. Amen. And that's the end of the prayer, but we're going to keep going. Two more verses. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When Jesus concludes this prayer, he goes back immediately to the part about forgiving others, because he knew that that was the one thing that they were going to have a hard time with, and it's still the same today. It is the one part of the prayer that people stumble over, gets caught in their throat, and they just mumble through it because they don't want to do it. And it is one of the most unpopular teachings of Jesus today in our culture. I don't believe that. The fact that you don't believe it don't change it. Well, that doesn't fit in with what I've been taught and the doctrine that I believe. That don't change it either. He knew, Jesus knew, of all the powerful principles he's giving us in prayer here, that this one was going to be the issue that we so struggle with. Now, you know, we talked about forgiveness and bitterness just recently on a Sunday, but I'm just going to mention a few things. There's this attitude in society that to forgive is a sign of weakness. If we're strong, we make them pay. That's a lie. There is nobody stronger than our God. He is mighty, mighty God who can do absolutely anything, and He forgives. That's who He is. Forgiveness is difficult sometimes because there's this negative attitude that if we forgive, it's an injustice because then they don't have to pay. Now, first of all, I want you to understand something about the laws of the land. It is absolutely scriptural that if somebody commits a crime, that the government, the laws of the land, hold that person accountable and they are punished for their crime. And that is not unchristian. That is scriptural. That is even New Testament Christianity, that when people go against the laws of the land, they are to be held accountable and punished for that. But we personally do not seek vengeance. We do not take matters in our own hands. We turn that over to God. We forgive. But ultimately, we always know this, that our God is just, and He says that He will repay. So there's no injustice when we forgive, as the Lord Jesus taught us to. Romans 12:19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." He says it very clearly that He will repay. But He also says, "Vengeance is mine." Don't take something that belongs to God. It'll get you in trouble. But when you forgive someone, I want to tell you, that doesn't mean you're going to have warm feelings for them. I mean, if that works out that way, that's awesome. It doesn't usually work that way for me. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have a recollection of that again and never feel that hurt again. But it does mean when you choose to forgive, that you're turning that over to the Lord. And you're opening yourself up for God to be able to heal the wrong. When you forgive a person, it doesn't mean that you have to be best friends. When you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that you trust them. A lot of people get really mixed up about this. Scripturally, forgiveness and trust are two totally different things. Forgiveness is supposed to be free and immediate. Trust takes time, and it has to be earned. And you know what? Even the Lord deals with us that way. He'll forgive you immediately, and it's free. But you're going to have to earn His trust before He'll bless you with more, before He'll do more. I'm just telling you, you got to earn His trust, and it takes time. You got to be faithful in little before He'll give you much. But we pray for forgiveness. We don't pray for vengeance on others. So when we pass judgment on others, what they deserve and don't deserve, we're speaking our own fate. We're judging ourselves. You know it. Jesus taught it, Luke 6:37, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." It's real straight up. Forgiveness, judgment, condemnation. You see, this is all wrapped up together. And if we condemn others, guess what? We're going to be condemned. If we judge others, we're going to be judged. On the other hand, if we forgive, He says we're going to be forgiven. This is the teachings of Jesus. So much of this, Christianity in America doesn't even believe. I believe the teachings of my Savior. I will take them over any doctrine of man. I'll take them over any seminary. I don't care who says. I take the words of Jesus over anybody and everybody. And this is what my Savior taught. And I follow Him. I follow His teachings. I believe they're for me. He makes it so clear that if we don't forgive, we won't be forgiven. And this isn't an isolated teaching. You see this over and over in the teachings of Jesus. It's amazing. I guess He knew that people were going to try to get around it. But it's just such a big part of His teaching. Here's another passage with Jesus' teaching on prayer from Mark 11:22-26. It'll be familiar to some of you. He says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.'" How many of you have ever confessed and prayed those verses and believed those verses in your prayer life, and you've seen God move and work and answer those prayers prayed in faith. Yeah, and here's the very next thing he says, and, same teaching, same thing going on here. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgiving, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Here it is. Okay, here we go. The same people who will tell you that verse 25 and 26 about being forgiven don't apply to you, they're the exact same people who will tell you that verses 22 through 24 are not for you either. That's a bunch of name it and claim it stuff, and not those promises, that's not for you. I believe it's all for me. If they really believe that that's not for us, then they are hypocrites when they pray the Lord's Prayer, because they're praying something that they don't even believe. That's a definition of a hypocrite, to be doing something that's phony, that's fake. You're praying the words, but you don't even believe you need to? Vain repetition. The Gospels. Let's talk about the Gospels for just a minute. The earliest gospel written was the book of Mark. It was written 40 years after the cross. That's the earliest one. Do you think the gospels were written for people before the cross? Because that's what they say. Oh, well, the teachings of Jesus, that was all before the cross. That was all before the cross. Why was it written in the Gospels and recorded for us? I read to you from 1 John a few minutes ago. We read about how that we, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. See, they say, oh, you don't have to confess your sins. You're forgiven no matter what. You don't have to do that. 1 John was written decades even after that. And as John is writing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't writing for people before the cross. I get a little wound up when people start twisting up the teachings of my Savior. And I see how it's impacting our culture and the church today in America. And people say, I don't have to forgive. Some people say, I don't have to ask for forgiveness because that would be a work. We're saved by grace. It is amazing how people can pervert the gospel. Listen, a work is doing something thinking that you are earning salvation by doing this. That's a work. That's what that's talking about. To be saved by works is to do things thinking that you're earning salvation. When you confess your sins to him, or you admit to him that you need forgiveness, when you pray, forgive my debts, forgive my sins. That is not a work. It certainly doesn't earn anything. That would be the same thing as saying, when I pray, give me this day my daily bread, I have just earned God's provision. That's stupid. You didn't earn anything. You just admitted to God you need his provision. That's all you did. You said, God, I need your provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And when you say, forgive my debts, you're not earning something. You're admitting to God, I need your forgiveness. It's not a work. How ridiculous. Some think they don't need to confess their sin because they claim they're forgiven no matter what. The problem is they base that doctrine on a couple of scriptures they pulled out of context, and they use human reasoning rather than the Word of God to support it. One of the most well-known pastors on TV has many books. In one of his books, he writes very plainly about saying that being forgiven has nothing to do with whether or not we forgive others. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what my Savior said. See, they think that the teachings of Paul all supersede the teachings of Jesus, and anything that Paul said wipes out everything that Jesus said. First and foremost, I want to tell you the Word of God never contradicts itself. And if you think that Paul's teaching is wiping out something that Jesus said, you just don't understand. That is just a cop-out. But the end result of this is you end up with a Bible that starts with the letters of Paul. If you've got to do away with 90% of the Bible to keep your little theology, it's time for you to throw away your theology. And I want to remind you what we read in 1 John, if you confess your sins. That wasn't written to lost people. It wasn't written to people before the cross. It was written to the church much, much, much later. In the writings of James, in James 2:13, James says, the one who doesn't show mercy will have judgment without mercy. It doesn't say, oh, no matter what you've done, doesn't matter if you show mercy or not, you get mercy. That's not in the Bible. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And James, he backs it up 80, 90 years later. He says the same thing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, the one who shows no mercy will have judgment without mercy. Okay, moving along. The teachings of Paul never contradict the teachings of Jesus. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:12 and 13, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So you also must do. This is not optional. He says, so you also must do. Not if you feel like it, not if you decide you want to. So you also must do. When we don't forgive others, we show the greatest disregard for the grace and the forgiveness that's been shown to us. When we refuse to extend that grace and forgiveness, then the truth is we can't fully receive God's grace and forgiveness in our own life, because I'm going to tell you, if you can't extend it to somebody else, you don't fully believe in it yourself. How can you possibly believe that a holy, righteous God would forgive you totally and completely when you won't even forgive somebody that's your equal? 2 Corinthians 5:15 says he died for all. It doesn't just say that he died for your sins. No, he died for theirs too. And you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, he died for my sins, but not theirs. If he didn't die for all, he didn't die for yours. One man says, when we fail to forgive others, we burn the bridge over which we ourselves must pass. Forgiveness. Jesus taught this principle over and over and over again. Matthew 18:21-35. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but Peter comes and he says, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother that sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, not seven times, but seven times 70. And that doesn't mean you count up to 490 times. That means endless. I got to thinking about this today. In fact, I was praying and I realized there were some things, some issues where I was having a hard time. You know, I was saying that I was walking in forgiveness. I was saying I was forgiving, but I realized that because this was an ongoing situation with this person and with that person, that I hadn't really gotten to the place where I just completely turned it over to the Lord. And I kind of related to Peter here a little bit, because he's like, how many times? You know, when something's ongoing, like right now, they're still doing it, Lord. Forgive them. Just forgive them. Jesus goes into this story about a certain kingdom. He says, this certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and when he began to settle the accounts, he had a man brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. It was a huge sum of money, and he wasn't able to pay. And the master commanded that he be sold, his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. And the servant falls down and he says, Master, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. But the servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's just pocket change. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down. He begged him and said, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry with him and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Here it is. I'll put this one up there, Heather. Verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Do you believe the teachings of Jesus? Oh, people don't like it, because they want to hold that unforgiveness and hatred in their heart and call themselves a Christian and a follower of Christ. If you don't forgive, you know what? I can tell you this, you will be tormented. Jesus said that they'll be delivered to the torturers. You will be tormented. That's so true. Even psychologists that don't believe in God can tell you that. You end up in a prison of your own making if you don't forgive. We don't forgive, you keep God's healing out of your heart, you bind that hurt to yourself, and you forever carry it until you decide to forgive. How long you want to carry that thing? When we don't forgive, we relive the hurt over and over and over. When we don't forgive, we're the ones that end up paying. But also our loved ones suffer, because unforgiveness turns to bitterness and it affects the way we treat others, even the innocent. Forgive us our wrongs as we forgive those who have wronged us. I'm going to tell you tonight, it would help a lot if we made this a daily part of our prayer. Because forgiveness, the truth is, I don't care what those religious people say. That is a false doctrine. We need forgiveness every day. Amen. Read 1 John again. We all sin. We have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need forgiveness. But in this world, we also need to learn to forgive every day. Because whether they're little things or big things, we all deal with stuff. We all are wronged. We all get hurt. We all get offended. And man, it will pile up on you if you don't learn to regularly forgive. So this is why Jesus teaches. This is not some pretty little prayer that you, religious thing you do. No, this is powerful. If we learn to pray this way, it'll set you free. Forgive my wrongs as I forgive those who have wronged me. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? The Bible says that she was caught in the very act. How horrible to have been caught in such a sin. They bring her, they throw her at Jesus' feet. And you know the story. He stoops down and writes in the dirt. And then he finally says, let him who is without sin be the first to cast a stone. And they all went away, one at a time. You know why? because every one of them had sin. And it is still the same today with me and with every one of you. There is not one of us who deserves the right to stand up and say, I'll stone her. Because there's not one of us that's without sin. Every one of us has sin. Now, again, you see, well, let me just get this. When Jesus teaches what he says about forgiveness, some people want to say, well, that was the law. That's not in the law. That's not in the law at all. That was Jesus' teaching. You won't find that in the law. And when they bring this woman to Jesus, they actually say to him, the law says, and you know what? They were absolutely right. According to the law, she should have been stoned on that spot right then and there. It wasn't the law. No. It was God's grace and forgiveness. And he got rid of her accusers. He didn't say you can't stone her. He said, you, whoever's without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone. Forgiveness. It is a choice that we make. We don't do it for the one who wronged us. Sometimes you do it for yourself if you're smart. But as a believer, you ought to always do it for Jesus. You don't do it for that person. You do it for Jesus, the one who did it for you. John 14, 23, 24. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I want to keep his word. I love him. And if he says for me to forgive, if he says for me to pray this way, forgive me as I forgive others, I want to do what he said because I love him. I remember one time my sweet wife was having a hard time forgiving someone. And that was the very thing that the Lord showed her, is that you're not doing it for that person. You're doing it for me. And then she found the strength to do it. If you really want to forgive and you're just having a hard time, pray for them. Jesus taught us to pray for those who persecute us, spitefully use us. Pray for them. Because forgiving others can be a real battle. Battles are won in prayer. So you pray for them. Forgive me as I forgive them. I'm telling you, battles are won in prayer. And when you pray it in prayer with a sincere heart, your heavenly Father will help you. He will give you the strength for you to be able to carry it out and truly do it. So this is why we pray. Father, forgive me as I forgive them. I want you to stand with me tonight, and we're just going to take just a minute to pray.